Hey, everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Dr. Rush Witt, and we're talking this week about how to help our kids deal with depression, anxiety, how to recognize it in them, and just help them to get past this and get through this. And again, I mentioned on Monday, if you're a parent who's dealing with depression or anxiety, and that's a big struggle for you, we'll put a link to the episode I did several months ago with Rachel Carman. And there are so many, I mean, she was just amazing. She gave us so many tips for working through that as parents. And so we're going to keep talking about that. But this week we're focusing on kids and teens. So I hope it will be a great encouragement to you. But before we get back into our conversation, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. BJU Press Homeschool is amazing, you guys. You know we love them. We've been to their facility. We've seen not just how they produce and publish their curriculum, but we've actually been into their biblical worldview area. They have like a whole department for biblical worldview, and they are very intentional on making sure that everything that they put out has a strong biblical worldview. And so if you are looking for curriculum for any grade, any subject for your kids, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. They will encourage a love of learning in your kids and help your kids to develop a strong biblical worldview. And they'll be with you every step of the way. They're amazing. You can talk to their consultants who will help walk you through what the needs are for your family. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, would you make sure to like and subscribe to our channel and share it with your friends? It's so fun. I know a lot of you watch these videos instead of just listening to them. So if you're one of the watchers, share it with your friends and subscribe to our videos. If you're listening to it, share that link with your friends as well. It's so important for us to share the encouragement that we have with other families who you know will benefit from it. So we thank you guys for doing that. We're so grateful for your help in getting the word out about the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Dr. Rush, thank you for coming back with me today. We are talking, you know, about this world of depression and anxiety. And I told this story I'm pretty sure I told the story when I was speaking with Rachel about moms dealing with depression and anxiety. But one of the stories I shared with her was that many years ago, I went through a pregnancy. And unfortunately, that pregnancy ended in miscarriage. But when I was pregnant, with that baby, I dealt with the worst depression I had ever dealt with in my life. And prior to that, I always thought, you know, depression is, it's not that I didn't think it was real. It's that I thought people could get over it. Like I just thought, well, why can't you just get past it? Especially for Christians, you know, just
cheer yourself up.
Like just get over it, you know, pray and ask the Lord to take it away. And I just didn't understand it because I had never dealt with it before. And I truly believe the Lord allowed me to go through that season because I didn't understand it. And I really needed to have empathy for people who do deal with depression because I know it can be a chemical imbalance. I mean, there are many things that can lead to depression, that can lead to anxiety. And it was at that time that I finally realized like, oh, this is a real thing and you can't actually always control it. There are things we can do to help for sure. And we're talking about that this week. But I was so grateful, even though it was really, really hard. I wasn't grateful in the midst of it. But afterwards, I was grateful that the Lord allowed me to go through that so that I could have my eyes open to the fact that this is real. This is a real thing. And it's not just real in adults, but it's real in kids and it's real in teens as well. So as we're looking at our children, as we're looking at our teenagers, can you talk with us about what some of the signs are that we can look for? And maybe let's start with younger kids, you know, those preteen kids and younger children. What are some signs we can look for in them and in the teen years as well? And then let's talk about how to navigate through that.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you said about depression there and sharing your story, because I think that's really important for us to grasp is that the experience of depression, some people do not feel it very often. And that's a wonderful thing. But it can make it hard if I'm that kind of person where maybe I'm not sort of prone to discouragement or despair, or I don't have maybe certain hard things going on in my life as much as other people do. It can be really hard to identify with somebody that is depressed, and it can be a kind of foreign you know, kind of a foreign thing to me. And so I appreciate what you're saying, because it is a very difficult thing to experience. I mean, you know, in the midst of challenging depression, it can be so overwhelming that you just can't, that's the way the depressed person feels. I can't see out of it. I can't imagine a world that would be any better than this moment. I can't imagine my sorrow going away, or I can't imagine that my relationships are going to improve, or that life is going to work out. I just can't see it. And having that compassion is so very important. I also think it's important for us, as we talk about depression, just to be clear that when we're talking about it here on a podcast, in our kids and at home, we're talking about more of the run-of-the-mill challenges of life. There are certainly times where those challenges can become so overwhelming that someone can feel like they're a danger to themselves or to someone else, and their thoughts have become so dark and controlling that they just need an extra layer of help and support. And sometimes that can mean a kind of medical intervention. You know, I might need to go somewhere where I or my, you know, loved one is going to be more safe. And, you know, certainly with suicidal thoughts, that's important. And sure. So I think it's clear to make that distinction, but also to really honor what you said, that it's something to have compassion for. And if I don't understand it, I should try to understand what somebody that's going through it is feeling, and try to get my heart and mind around that some. When we think about, of course, when we think about depression and anxiety, because they can run together, and we're trying to key in on, when is this happening in my child's life, or how can I be aware of it? Because it can be a frightening thing to parents. You know,
yeah.
There's this thing my kid's experiencing. I don't really understand it. I don't know what to look for. And now I think that one caution is that fear in our own hearts can drive us into a kind of obsessive search for signs. And maybe it's this, maybe it's that, because we feel a lot of weight about that. And we want to be careful about that as well, because we don't want to be looking on a hunt all the time for those things, but we want to be, I would say it's the difference in our lives between being having a morbid introspection into my life, where I obsess about all the things going on inside of me, mm-hmm. and having a healthy self-awareness. So I don't want to have a morbid examination of people I love all the time. I want to have a healthy others awareness. I want to be aware of what's going on in them. So some of those things I think are common, the kind of the common sense things that we might naturally think to look for in our kids, even at an early age. When any person is depressed, there's a sense in which they seem to be kind of slowing down in life. They often are sleeping a lot. They are lethargic. They don't have the same motivation that they had before, whether it's to play or to be around friends. A similar kind of thing can happen when any of our kids are feeling anxious. You know, we might see an uptick in kind of how quickly they may cry about things, or they may respond to what seem to be small disappointments in big ways. That can be definitely a part of anxiety. Because this can be hard for us to sort out, it has been helpful to me to think about how the Bible talks about us as people. The Bible talks about us as being two parts, body and soul. And those two parts are mixed together and they influence each other. There are ways in which my spiritual life, your spiritual life, can affect the way we feel in our bodies. If I'm having a spiritual issue like anxiety, it can produce in my body those symptoms of I'm nervous, I'm shaky, I feel on edge, I'm not sleeping well. And in the reverse, sometimes we have something going on in our bodies, being sick or some other kind of body problem, that can produce this spiritual struggle. I was just talking to a friend today, actually, about that very thing. And he's kind of been sick recently, hasn't had a lot of appetite. And he's also really struggling spiritually. He's struggling with doubt about who God is. And that's not to say that, you know, you need to eat a good diet and take your vitamin and you won't have doubts about God. Sure. But it is to say that those things tend to run together. They influence each other. And so when we think about our kids, we can use that as a kind of guide to look at both. Do I see some things going on in my child that are physically representing some struggle? Do I see some changes in them? Losing weight, gaining weight, sleeping too much, not sleeping enough, becoming outwardly angry, becoming outwardly isolated, you know, and drawing back from people. Those are those external kind of things that we could look into and be aware of and note as we're walking with them. And then on the spiritual side, as we said, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's important for us to have good communication with them and ask them key questions. I could even recommend a book that's been helpful to many. And it's a book called Get Out of My Face by Rick Horn. And the subtitle is Reaching Angry, Unmotivated Teens with Biblical Truth. And one of the things that's helpful about this book is it helps us as parents or those, you know, even leaders in church that are wanting to help students and children to ask the right questions that get at the issue of the heart. And usually to go back to our earlier conversation about beliefs and desires, it's to ask about those things, to ask questions about what is it that you're wanting? What kind of desires in your heart are really kind of captivating you? And of course, we have to find our own appropriate way to ask based upon the age or the personality of our kids. We know them best by spending time with them and learning how to ask those questions. He's got another book actually that follows up to that called Get Off of My Case. So there's Get Out of My Face, Get Off of My Case. And those are really helpful books to just help us to key in or clue into some of those things that are going on in our kids' lives.
Yeah, those sound like great books. I've not heard of those before. But I think communication really is so important because sometimes one of the things that I've heard of, my girls are super transparent in their emotions. Mm-hmm. Like we pretty much, for the most part, always know how they're feeling. I mean, it's in their faces, it's in their actions, it's in their words. So my girls are fairly easy for my husband and I to read. But I've known of others whose kids have dealt with depression. And as a matter of fact, we have some friends who their son was dealing with depression and they knew that he had had some struggles, but they didn't, he was able to just put on a happy face and they didn't know that it was as deep as it was. And he ended up taking his life and it was a really, really difficult situation, obviously for their family. But I think that can be part of the thing too, is that we don't always really know, especially for those quieter kids, those who are more introverted and not as animated as my girls. It can be difficult to know what they're really truly thinking. And so, you know, not that his parents did anything wrong by any means, but, you know, as we're asking questions to our kids and really knowing them, he was an adult. And so I don't believe he lived at home at the time anymore. So they weren't with him, you know, on a daily basis to see his true struggle. But I think it's really, really important for us to be engaged in conversation with our kids, because just because they look happy doesn't always mean that they are. Now, it doesn't mean that because they look happy, they're not actually happy. They don't have true joy in their lives.
Of course,
that is often the case as well. But I think trying to be really as in tune with our kids as possible is so important. So we'll talk more about it though. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs.
Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Rush. Before the break, we were having a conversation. We're talking about communication and understanding our kids.
We were, yeah.
Talk about, let's dig a little bit more deeply into that, because I think that's something that a lot of parents are like, well, exactly how do I do that? You know, especially again, for, and I shouldn't say just the introverts. I think as I observe kids and people, it's the quieter ones that are harder to read and understand, but I'm sure that's not always the case, because those extroverts and those in between can play it off as well if they really don't want people to know how they're feeling and what they're thinking about things.
Yeah, actually, you know, earlier what you were saying reminded me of something that my wife has been really good, better than I am, has been really good to emphasize in our parenting. We haven't always done it well. No, you know, we're finding our way, but emphasizing the importance of giving our kids a way and a place to talk about the way they feel. That sounds to me so obvious and so elementary. But it's those kinds of things that sometimes just float right past me. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a good reminder to me. And I've tried to find good ways as a dad. My wife has much better ways as a mom to talk to our kids about that and give them a place to talk about how they feel and help them find words for it. Some of our kids, and it, of course, as you said, it has some to do with personality. But some of it, it just has, I found, just has to do with their stage of life. So one of our sons is a teenager, and he's like classic teenage boy. He's one word answers. He doesn't show a ton of emotion. It's really hard to know what he's thinking. And he's kind of shrouded in, I mean this in the most charitable way, you know, he's kind of shrouded in this teenage fog. Uh-huh. And it's just hard for me to know, like, what's going on in there. And that can be concerning to parents because we feel kind of out of control. Like, I don't feel like I have a good hold of the wheel. I don't know where the car is going. But trying to have ways, just those key moments without harping on him, trying to have key moments where I finally am, you know, become bright enough to say, oh, this is one of those. I should say, hey, man, listen, I just want you to know you can always tell me how you're feeling. I know that's not always easy, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's going on in your heart. And so if you ever want to talk about what you feel about life, what life is like for you, what an experience has been like for you, I want to hear about that. And I'm never going to make fun of you. I'm never going to put you off. I really want to hear that. And I want to talk about that. I just want you to know I'm here. And just every now and then giving that or using some of those questions in some key moments of just saying, hey, tell me a minute what that was like for you. When your team lost the game the other night and you had a part in the loss and that was really hard for us to go through, what was that like for you? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Giving some places like that has been helpful.
Yeah.
And especially for those kids, those seem to be the kids we tend to worry a little more about because you don't really know what's going on. It's been encouraging for me to be able to see over some time that those moments, they may not come frequently, but when they come, they're significant. There are significant. I cried with my son, outside the gym where he plays basketball for a local team in a really, really serious to him loss. It was serious to me too, because I'm super invested in this. But, you know, he just like cried on my shoulder. He's 6'2", he's 15, he's very quiet and tough and cried on my shoulder. There's one of those moments where we made some progress. So I just appreciate what you were saying earlier. And I think just that little focus on creating some space and helping them have words can go a long way. And it might be a reminder that if I'm listening, I need it because I'm not always thinking that way. So that could be a help to us, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Asking those heart probing questions
Yeah.
Is so important for our kids because sometimes they don't even know what questions
to ask themselves. Like they don't know, right. they know how they feel, but yeah. they may not be able to pinpoint it. Even yeah. in the teen years, you know, they may not know how to express exactly how they're struggling or why they're struggling
yeah.
with something. And that's when a wise parent comes in and starts to ask those questions. And you know what? Most of us parents are not biblical counselors. We're not pastors. Yeah. We don't have the perfect questions, but our kids know that we love them and they know right. that we're here for them. And when we tell them those things, you know, we have to show it as well as say it. But when our kids know that we're on their side, we're on their team, yeah. we are here to help them. We're here to walk through these things. And I think being honest with our kids about our own struggles, I have shared my struggles with my girls. You know, I like anyone else, I've had all kinds of struggles in my life and difficulties. And so I'm really open with them about all the things. I mean, I tell them everything because I want them to know I'm not Superwoman. I'm not perfect by any yeah. means. I've had the same struggles that they've had in some ways, and some, you know, have been different. They've had different struggles than I have, but I want them to know, like, I'm a real person and you can come to me. I'm your mom, right. but I'm also your confidant. I'm also your friend. Yeah. And I want to say something here. I often hear parents tell, and I don't know, maybe you can tell me if you agree or disagree with this.
Yeah.
I often hear parents say to their kids, I'm your mom, I'm not your friend.
Mm.
I'm my girl's friend. My mm-hmm. girls, truly at 13 and 18 years old, they are two of my very best friends
yeah.
on the planet. I want to be their friend because I'm not just the authority figure in their life.
Right.
I want them to be able to come to me with all the things that they struggle with and talk. And they do. I mean, they talk to right. me like they talk to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because they know that I am their friend. Now I am their authority. I am,
yeah.
you know, in charge of parts of their lives. But I don't see anywhere in scripture that says you can't be your kids' friends. you right. know, you can only be their parent. You can only be their authority. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I understand. I think what you're saying, I agree with what you're saying, because I understand that when we say some things like that, there's something that we're trying to get at. We're trying to get at that we don't have just I'm not just your pal. I'm not just here to pal around with you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we swing that pendulum so far that we say, I'm not your pal at all. Rather right. than seeing that, you know, our parenting, all of our relationships are not simple like that. They're multidimensional. They're not, you know, they're not single dimension.
Right.
And we look at Jesus as the ultimate example. Yeah. He is all of these things to us. He is our King. He's our Lord, which is very authoritative and sovereign. He's also our friend.
Yeah.
He's also our brother.
Yeah.
And he is also, in a way, our servant. He's mm. serving us by his grace. He washes his disciples' feet. So I appreciate your point, because it's calling us to open up our view of relationships with kids to be multidimensional.
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. I am your parent, and sometimes I am your friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm more like your brother. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's true, and it's a good thing to have a well-formed relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not always good at that. I'm not always right. good at that. But it's helpful to have perfect. That reminder, and you know, we yeah. keep taking steps in that direction. So
yeah,
I like that
funny.
A lot.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, of the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Yeah. And it's funny because I never thought about that till just now, but it's true. I mean, he truly was. You look at his ministry with his disciples.
Yeah.
He was God in the flesh. He was their authority, and they learned it, you know, in the beginning. I think they were like, who is this guy? You know?
Sure.
But they quickly learned the power of God in and through Jesus, but he was also their friend.
Sure.
And, you know, and he's our friend too. And just like our kids should be able to come to us with all of their struggles and things, ultimately what we need to teach them to do because of that is to go to the Lord, go to Jesus with everything. We don't have all the answers, but we can point them to the one who does.
Yeah.
And so what a beautiful opportunity we have as their parents to say, come to me with your struggles. Let me ask you the questions. Jesus set that example for us. He asked heart-probing questions all the time. That was his ministry, right?
Yeah, right.
And so being able to kind of be that face here on earth and then point them back to the one who has all of the answers, who is our only source of hope, in being their friend slash sure. mom or dad,
right.
we can help them learn how to do that. So there's so much more to talk about, but we're out of time. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to continue talking about this. Thank you guys so much for listening. You are such a blessing and a joy to us. We love you. We love our audience. We pray for you guys. And if there's something we can pray specifically about, send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And it is always our privilege to pray for you, to answer questions. If there's someone you want to hear on the podcast or a topic you want us to tackle, send us an email, podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And again, you can find all things at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. You can make a financial donation there. Thank you so much for those who continue to support this ministry financially. We are so very grateful for you. And again, share this with your friends. You are our marketing team, if you will. You are listeners. You're the Schoolhouse Rocked marketing team. And so it is always a blessing for us when you help share these podcast episodes and the movie with your friends. Again, schoolhouserocked.com is where you can find it all. Stay tuned at the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout. And receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
In the CSB, I like the way it puts this in really plain language for me to understand. 35, it says, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages. Now that seems like a really obvious thing, not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it says that Jesus, the King of all creation, came and entered our world. And he didn't just come down to the sky. He came down to the streets. And so we get this picture of Jesus walking our streets and being in our villages. And that is the entrance into our kids' world that we need to make. I need to enter their world. I need them to know that I have genuine concern, that I have a warm disposition toward them, and I want to be close to them. That's drawing close to them.